All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. September the 5th, 2023. Hope everybody is doing well. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's fantastic wherever you are at. Coming out of the big holiday weekend, it's a wrap. Summer's over. Head on home, right? Actually, this is the beginning of the summer 2.0, where like all the older people that don't have kids start coming to the beach, right? Kids are in the kids are back in school now. The older folks that like coming to the beach start showing up, which is cool. So our season is not over, but I can't imagine it's going to be as crazy as it has been over the last 5 or 6 weeks, because it's been pretty nutty. But it is just the way it is, and I'm grateful that I can even live here. You know, super blessed. But yeah, it is Tuesday. That means I went to the meeting last night. And the meeting last night was on the sixth step. I wasn't sure what step we were on, because we've sort of jumped around a bit. And, you know, I shared last night, you know, it's weird when you go to like a step meeting, right? Because you sit down every week and you read a step, right? And then you sort of really focus on the step, which is good. It's sort of like a step study. You start to understand. But you know, I had to remind myself, you know, when I came into this program, I was such a different person. Oh, my God. I was so consumed. I was so possessed, right? I was just the fucking, the minimal human as I could be, suffering major spiritual deficit. I mean, I was living on self-will. It was pretty fucking gross, right? And so I was the perfect person to start to reshape in this program, start to peel back this monster and try to find the human that was somewhere inside of me, right? So the point of all that is that this is a journey, right? And, you know, I don't know if this is true. I don't know why I even feel this, but I felt like the steps were sort of written in a story, like it was a story, right? And then someone came back and, you know, broke them up into numbered steps. I might be wrong. If I am, I apologize, but it also just has a feel like a story, right? You know, when I came into the program as a self-centered person, I looked at these 12 steps as the 12 tasks. These are the 12 things. It was even said to me, these are the steps you need to do to find recovery. And I'm like, need to, right? I have to. Anytime I have to do something, I'm a victim, right? It's not what I prefer to do. And if it ain't what I prefer to do, that means I'm having to do it. And if I have to do it, it means I'm not loving it, and I'm a victim of it. And it just changes how I look at things. And I think a lot of people come in like that. And we should, right? We don't come into a 12-step program with humility, right? I know that's what I was lacking. I live on self-will, and you can't have self-will and humility at the same time. And so when I came in, these steps were perfect for me, right? It was, you know, really unwinding the monster, right? And like I said before, in the first step, we admitted, right? I was unaware of what humility was. And so for me to admit anything, right? If I was admitting anything, it was because I was escaping something, right? I was getting out of something. But to admit that I'm powerless over alcohol and that my life had become unmanageable was probably the first humble thing I had done, right? And so for a person that doesn't do anything humble, what makes more sense than to try to get that person to try to do something humble, right? It's like, just try it, right? If you don't like it, put it on the plate, but just try a little humility, right? And so I felt like that's what the first step did, was, you know, allowed me to admit, right, to surrender, to give up. I admit it. I can't do it anymore. I give up. And then step two, you know, we have to come to believe, right? This step struggled a little bit. I understand it now, but at the time I struggled a little bit, but came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's when I really started learning about prayer. Right, I didn't do this one right away. I didn't understand it right away. But today, you know, I understand when I get into a situation, whether I've caused it or not, a lot of the time the solution is to pray about it, right? And that's because I believe that there is something that if I pray to it, it does relieve the devil, the devil's attack, right? The devil trying to take me over. You know, and that's step three. Made a decision to turn our will, thinking, and our lives, action, over to the care of a God that we understood him. I didn't understand what that means, but I do today, right? Positive thinking, positive actions. Bad thinking, bad actions. I had a lot of bad thinking and a lot of bad actions early on in my life. By choice, right? I didn't make a decision, then it went bad. I chose bad decisions. I had bad thinking. My thinking serves self. Anytime thinking serves self, usually your actions aren't going to probably be too good, right? And then we go into that fourth step, the moral inventory, right? Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. I didn't know. I am being taught right now how to be a human through these steps. Come on in. We're going to teach you how to be a human. We're going to figure out your morals. I had none, right? I mean, I wouldn't kill somebody, right? I wouldn't rape somebody. I wouldn't. I've stolen from people. I mean, I've had a couple, right? I mean, the big ones. But as it went down the ladder there, they sort of started to fade out. And so it was important for me to learn my moral inventory, right? What else? How else am I going to learn it, right? It says made a searching and fearless. That means that I'm not afraid that this might hurt my feelings. This might be embarrassing. This might show that I'm a real prick, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? Searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? And then we go to the fifth step, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. You know, the fifth step is the real hump, right? And we get through it, right? But then you head to the sixth step. And what else do we got to start working on? Our character, right? The morals for me are my spiritual character, right? The character defects on the outside, right, are the ones that I can fix on the outside, right? And then we get into the shortcomings. Those are the ones that are, they blend, I think, between the two. And they're a little tougher. Or we just fall short, right? Almost, right? You know, it's like when my buddy Matt used to say, you know, these are the steps where we start stealing the Wawa sugar packets.
Dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, keep on keeping on. It's a great song. I heard it the other day. I'm like, oh, I got to use that. That sounds good. But then we get to, you know, the sixth step. You know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. It is a journey, right, to get us to this point, right? But you would hope at some point, through the first five steps, that we've, you know, hopefully deflated the ego, hopefully snubbed out the anger, you know, hopefully shined a light on the fear and worry. And we start to get to a place where we become willing to really take a hard look at some of this stuff. But until you're there, it is rough. And, you know, I was chatting with somebody recently, and you know, this person's had a lot of struggles, right? In and out, in and out. And I was saying, listen, man, you know, if you want to sit down and read the big book together, I would love to. And he's like, yeah, okay, why don't we do that, right? And I was like, that sounds good. But then we were talking about something else, and the problem is the unfortunately, there's so much anger inside this person, and I don't know how to help him. Right. I actually talked to my sponsor this morning about it. I'm like, I just don't know. right? There's so much anger, right? And I don't remember because I was never that angry about this. I was never, I mean, I came in as a victim, but that's so much anger. The problem is that it's everybody else's fault. And when somebody is that angry, it's hard to, you know, pop that fucking bubble and tell them, bitch, it's your fault. Right? This is all your fault. They don't want to hear that. Right? I don't feel like getting a fist fight. Right? Another fist. Yeah, I mean, I got plenty of them drunk. I do not want to start having fist fights sober. But, man, I can see the pain, right, and the torture. And it's so blatantly obvious to me what the problem is or what would sort of start helping, right? And that's to just start becoming accountable, right? And just give up. Give up the fight. You know, right now, that anger is a character defect. Like, if you're going to, you know, and you know, like I was talking about, you know, the furniture shopping, you know, that's, I've always felt like this program has taught me or has helped me become a value to my family, to my coworkers, right, to my neighborhood, to the community I work in. I felt like these steps have slowly taught me how to become a value again, right, to get me out of that tent. You know, that's like, I was that table. Yeah, we would, yeah, I could give you a job, but, you know, you do that, right, and you still do this thing. You're still carrying on with that. And so your value keeps going down and down and down. And, you know, these steps in this program help me start creating, putting value back into myself, right? You know, if I'm going to go on a space trip, and I've probably said this in a podcast before, but, you know, if I'm going on a space trip, right, in a spaceship, right, it doesn't have a lot of room, and I got to take like 6 or 7 people with me, I'm going to make sure every one of those people bring me value, right? And as I bring value to them. But when you take a person like the person I've been chatting with and you bring them into a situation like that, their anger, right, the negativeness becomes, it starts to take away the value. It starts to make it the trip impossible, right? You can't be on a year-long, 10-year-long trip with somebody that's so angry that's going to make everybody else miserable. They start to become less valuable. And the program teaches us, man, we have to give up. It taught me I have to surrender this shit. You know, I've gone through a couple divorces. You know, the first divorce that I went through was rough, right? Because I was new to the program, but I thought I was doing really, really well. Right? I thought I was killing it. Sober for life, bro. And that wasn't the case. And 5 years into it, and I drank because I had to be here, right? All the shit that I've talked about up until this point was me. I had to be here. The 12 steps of this program were a task. And when it's a task, I'm a victim. And I never get anything out of shit that I have to do when I come in as a victim, right? And so, you know, it's tough. Right, it is tough, but you've got to, and like I said, I wasn't that mad, I wasn't that angry, but surrendering is the key to start to create the value. You know, and I was talking to this guy last night, I'm like, dude, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, the so-and-so said this, and I can't believe it, and you're like, wow, and part of me is like, it sounds like it was true. Right? I think it was true. But it's just, you know, when you come in and when you're like, when I was in that sort of lifestyle in that position, it's just how we take things, right? If someone says something, you know, a person that's living a life of self, fear, anger, they take everything the way that makes them out to be the bad person, right? And when you're in a life of, you know, living a life of God and humility and, you know, hopefully, right, when somebody criticizes you, you can surrender and say, listen, this isn't personal, right? It isn't personal. This isn't personal. I'm going to just take it for what it is, right? You know, one of the, I talk about paddling, right? We paddled this weekend, and I've been working on my paddling, right? I've been working on my form, my catch, right, my reach. And I've been working hard at it, right? And I feel like I've been getting better, right? A couple weeks ago, this guy Dave's like, you're not leaning out to the right far enough, right? Because I'm afraid to flip the boat, right? I'm always trying to either stay center or a little left, right? So I was working on it. I started having to, I'm trying to trust the boat, right? I'm trying to trust the process. And so I'm leaning a little more out on the right, you know, and getting that catch. So, you know, I'm more efficient because when I don't, the paddle gets angled and it just gets sloppy. And so I'm trying to be better, right? And so we paddled on Sunday, and then we go to lunch, and the guy that was steering tells me, he goes, you know, you're leaning out on the right too much. Part of me was like annoyed. What? I've been working on that, right? But he's watching me, right? He can see it. I can't see it. I think I'm doing the right thing, but I cannot personally see myself. And this guy has been paddling and steering and working on doing these outrigger canoes a lot longer than I have. And when a guy like that says, hey, I think you're leaning out too much on the right, I got a little pissed, right? I got a little annoyed inside. I didn't say anything. I go, yeah, man, I'm all over the place, right? And he's right. And I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to trust the process. But, you know, his comment wasn't to hurt my feelings. Right, his comment was to help me get better. But I have to be in that frame of mind, right? I have to be in that humble place. I can't, excuse me. You know, when I get consumed by self, and I remember when I was sober the first time, and I watched myself, you know, it didn't start off with the drink. It started off with my attitude, right? And I remember being like that. I can't believe so-and-so did this. And I remember my buddy Scott's like, dude, you sound like you're out of your fucking mind. And I was out of my mind. I was definitely out of my mind. I was a living in self. And but this, you know, when this guy mentions this to me yesterday or on Sunday, you know, I'm in a good place in my life. I'm like, yeah, I go, yeah, I'm all over the place, man. And you're right. I got to figure out how to get better. Right. I can take it as a compliment or not a compliment. I can take it as a suggestion to help me get better. Right, he didn't say it in sarcasm. He didn't say it to hurt my feelings. Right? And what was said to this guy, really, if taken one way, can be absolutely great advice. If taken another way, can absolutely infuriate a person. It just depends where you are at spiritually. Are you holding the hand of God? I don't think so. So I'm just talking to this guy, and I'm trying to figure out, man, how do I deflate the anger, right? And I just don't know. I just don't know if it's possible. I guess it has to be possible. I don't know. It has to be, right? Rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. But I'm just not sure if I'm the guy up for it. I mean, I'd love to help him. But, you know, all we're doing is trying to start creating value in ourselves again. And when a person like that, and you can have a conversation, you know, like if I'm in this paddling club and the guide says to me, hey, man, you're leaning too far out to the right, and I go flying off the handle, that's bullshit. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm not creating any value to the club. In fact, I'm decreasing my value, right? That guy is starting to figure out how he can get me out of the club. Right? That's never good. Right? You want to be part of something. You want to have humility and be able to take, you know, criticism and compliments, right? Another thing that happened this weekend was that it was a mixed weekend, right? It was a lot of mixed feelings. But you know, I'm out paddling. And we're in one boat, right? And we're doing really well. And then the guy goes, you know, you're so strong in this boat. I'm going to put you in the other boat, and I'm going to move some people around to balance out the boats. Oh, right away, I'm like, fuck yeah, I am awesome. You know, head starts puffing up. I'm feeling fantastic, right? Then I get in the other boat, and we fucking smoke them. Well, I'm all of a sudden, I'm king of the boat, right? I'm king of the world. Dangerous too, right? You can't have, as much as you can't be fucking pissed and annoyed and a victim, You can't be amazing and awesome too much, right? You can't, because it gets to you. They're the same freaking thing. There's this, like, the devil for me lives on the fringes, right? On the extremes, right? And he can get me there. But, you know, God's in the middle. And if I ignore God all in the middle, I end up out on the fringes. And that's where the devil lives, right? And so, you know, do a pretty good job. Everything's good. I'm staying humble. Man, you were really good today. Boop, I'm on the fringe. Now I'm living with the devil. Now I feel like I want my own club, right? I need to build a boat. Let's chop down a tree. Let's build a canoe, right? All of a sudden, I'm just inspired by myself. It's terrible. It's not a good spot either, right? Because you end up with a bunch of chopped down trees and a bunch of clubs that you're not a member of because you're not living in the middle, right? And tell me I'm leaning out too far. Tell me I'm not doing a good job. You know, now I want to quit the club, right? That's fringe. That's out there with the devil. Let's quit. Let's quit this. You know, I don't know if I shared in the podcast, but we had a little thing that happened a couple weeks ago, and I felt like quitting. I was like, I'm quitting this fucking club. Bullshit. But I had to let that one pass. You know, and that's another thing is, you know, when something like this comes along, you know, sometimes it's best to just sort of sit with it, right? Figure out the role I played, become responsible. What would I do different? All that different stuff. But the sixth and seventh step to me is where the magic really starts happening. I mean, honestly, the journey, it, you need all of them. But I really like the sixth and seventh step because these are, you know, where we try to start making ourselves better, fixing our character. Stop being a character, right? Really start to get into some of this. But, you know, in those first five steps, at some point, hopefully you found, like, humility, right? Hopefully you've learned to surrender. That's the other thing is when you were at a step meeting, when we do step meetings, at some point, like, you're in the sixth and seventh steps, some people aren't even out of the first one. And it's hard to figure it out. Right, because some real key shit has to happen early on to even approach this step, right? And one of them is surrender, right? Learning we live this life of self. We need to find humility. You know, regardless of what is said to me, it's all good, right? Tom, you're terrible. I appreciate that. I'll try to do better. Maybe there's some truth in that, right? What can I do to improve from this information that I've gotten, right? Instead of, fuck you. What do you know? You're full of shit. You don't do anything. You've never done anything in your life. You know, attack, attack, attack. It's the devil attacking, right? When the reality is there's probably, if not 100% truth, there's definitely something in there that I can probably address and take a look at. I can always do better. I can always do better. Because what happens is when I start to get into this place, I don't fit in. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to participate. I don't care what you think. And then a drink seems like something to do, right? And then we're fucking back in the goddamn bottle again. All right. I'm going to read the daily reflections. I got to go to work. This is a work day. All right, daily reflections. Ooh, September 5th, an emotional balance. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. Yeah. 10th step. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. That's a 10th step, right? Yeah. When I survey my drinking days, I recall many people whom my life touched casually, but whose days I troubled through my anger and sarcasm. These people are untraceable and direct amends to them are not possible. The only amends I can make to those untraceable individuals, the only changes for the better I can offer are indirect amends made to other people whose path briefly crossed mine. Courtesy and kindness, regularly practiced helped me to live in an emotional balance at peace with myself. Yeah, made direct. That's the ninth step. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. The 10th step is continue to take personal inventory. Yeah, absolutely, right? When I survey my drinking days, I recall many people whom my life touched casually, but whose days I troubled through my anger and sarcasm, right? These people are untraceable, and direct amends to them are not possible. The only amends I can make to those untraceable individuals, the only changes for the better I can offer, are indirect amends made to other people whose paths briefly crossed mine. Courtesy and kindness, regularly practiced, help me to live in an emotional balance at peace in myself. I mean, that's sort of what it's about, right? Emotional balance. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, right? Acceptance. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. And why is that important? So you don't drive yourself fucking crazy, right? It's like walking up to a forest that's on fire with a little hose, and the voice is like, you can't do this. You can't put this out, right? Understanding what you can and can't do. And when you can't do something, understanding what you have to do to try to get to a point where you're cool with it, right? Staying balanced, for me at least, balanced emotionally. I can't live constantly angry, right? And I can't live constantly bubbling, right? I live more in the middle, and I get little both doses of both, right? But like even last night when that conversation and that, I was frustrated, right? I'm having a conversation. I want to try to help somebody, and the person is just so freaking angry that I can't help, right? I don't even know how to start. I just don't really know. That's frustrating, right? So I'm a little annoyed, right? I'm leaving the meeting last night a little bit bothered. Can't stay there, right? I can't stay in the bothered. I have to come back down, and I have to say, listen, man, it's right where the guy's supposed to be. Listen, if we can just figure this out, this would be huge, right? And another thing is it's great to see this kind of thing in action, right? Because it was hard for me to see it in myself. But when I can see it in somebody else's life, and then I can see how, you know, making certain moves to try to work on that can improve your life, can create value in your life, you know, I'm like, wow, this is a miracle, right? And how many people are like that? So many people, right? You talk to them and it's just, you know, it's everybody else's fault. If it wasn't for this, if it hadn't been for that, and then you're just a victim, right? It's crazy. I've been following Vivek Ramaswamy, right? I think he's running in the Republican race. And I'm a big fan of Kennedy. I like Kennedy. I just like the stuff. I like what they're talking about. I just feel like we're in a time in our lives, as far as in our country, where we have got to figure something out, right? So I'm just listening, just paying attention, right? But I like Vivek, right? He's got a great message. And yeah, I'm not going to make this political, but I don't know. I saw him last night. He had a lot of great stuff to say. And I think it's just, you know, the willingness, right? And his message last night, which was so good, is, you know, what is it to be American? You know, who are we as Americans? Right? And I think that was one of the biggest questions I had when I started getting sober, is who am I as a human? Right? Who am I? Because I had been shaped through friends and people and acquaintances. But when it came right down to the nuts and bolts of it, who am I and what am I so afraid of? And that's sort of what his message is as Americans. Who are we today? Right? What do we represent? And if we're finding it, it seems like there's a big void in a lot of people's hearts, right? In a lot of people's chest, right? That we're not sure who we are. You know, a lot of his thing was like, he, you know, ask a millennial, what does it mean to be American? And they just look at you with this straight face, or, you know, this face of confusion. And, you know, it made me start to think, what does it mean for me to be American? And then the better question was, what does it mean for me to be sober? And, you know, what it means to me to be sober is that for me, I can show up every day. In any situation that comes my way, hopefully I can handle good or bad, right? And I come into the day the same way I leave the day, Right? I don't want to come in too high or low, and I don't want to leave too high or low. And then I get to be there for the next person, which to me is awesome. Right? So maybe that's a question I have to ask myself. Who am I today? Right? And this program has taught me and allowed me to see it sometimes pretty clear, and sometimes I still struggle, but you know, maybe the question for us is, who are we today? And who, you know, what is it we want to be? I don't know. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. I'm going to work today and paddle tomorrow. So we'll catch up later. Thanks for letting me share. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Show me.